Throughout the Old Testament, there is much reference to whoredom. When God complains about this whoredom, it is because of Jerusalem's whoredom with other races, Ezekiel 16. The results of misusing God's gifts were lewdness and abominations through breaking their covenant with God. There are two main words, Zena and Tazmanwith, which are translated as whoredom. Both have a lot in common, but the latter word is exclusive to Ezekiel, who associates whoredom with non-Israel races 21 times. Zena comes from a prime root meaning highly fed and therefore one. It is used 105 times. There is mention of strange women, non-Israel stock, that is, Nokri and Nekar, as explained in the chapter entitled Pilgrims, Strangers, and Israel. Solomon knew the dangers, and he fell into the trap nevertheless. It was foreign wives that caused his downfall and descent into idolatry. Proverbs 23:27, for a whore is a deep ditch, the strange woman is a narrow pit. Ditch and the pit are not the same thing. Only the ditch can be gotten out of. Narrow connects with the adversary in Hebrew. There is a difference between a whore, who is an Israelite, and a strange woman, who is a foreigner. Proverbs 23:33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Proverbs 5:20, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? These three verses tell about strange women of a foreign race speaking about whoredom. Hosea says in chapter 4, verse 14, therefore the people that doeth not understand shall fall. It must happen. Let there be understanding. All through Scripture we can find such warnings presented in different ways. They all add up to the same answer from both Testaments. Racial intermarriage leads to idolatry. It always has been so. God's judgment is upon it. While there may appear to be examples in Scripture where Israelite men married non-Israelite women, it can be shown that this is not so. Those are wrong interpretations. Let us take Ruth as an example. Her mother-in-law's kinsman, Boaz, together with all the elders of the city, had no hesitation in helping Ruth in accordance with the Israelite law. Furthermore, Ruth married Boaz, and this is the line that gave rise to Jesse and David, and it is the line from which Jesus claims his human ancestry. This is sufficient to establish that Ruth was an Israelite, who, along with many, many others, were living in the plains of Moab. The Israelites had taken it from Moab as part of Israel's advance into the Promised Land. Is Balaam's doctrine the normal teaching? It is painfully obvious that Balaam's doctrine is the standard teaching in our churches, Bible schools, and seminaries. It has been advocated on Christian radio, television, and the press. The false prophet Balaam is heard advocating racial mixture, multiculturalism, and a one-world multiracial church. We have Promise Keepers and other well-funded organizations advocating breaking down the barriers between races in the sense that there is no difference between the races. As in Balaam's time, so in our time, Moabites and Ammonites are still attacking Israel with their false doctrine. The Canaanite is still in the house of God, too. But when Jesus returns, there will no longer be found a Canaanite in the house of the Lord, Zechariah 14:21. The word from those days still applies, 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. But who will believe today? These are hard sayings. The whole subject of race is a problem to most Christians. Most get over the problem using one of the following methods: teaching the doctrine and actively promoting it, just going along with it, spiritualizing it away, saying that all believers of all races are the nation of Israel, believing, teaching that Israel no longer exists, some saying that there is both a natural and a spiritual Israel, a nation and a church, respectively. Many will admit to not feeling at ease over any mixed race marriage, but they are afraid to express the disgust, even if they do see that racially mixed marriages do not work out well. Today, in this biblical time of man's day, racism is classed as a sin of major proportion. To be labeled racist is supposed to be a bad label. Everything racist is supposed to be wrong. The racist person himself is considered to be evil. The very fact that this is the teaching of the Antichrist world government indicates that this teaching must be anti-God. This attitude is being brought into the churches. It is a platform of the World Council of Churches and those who preach a social, humanistic, universalized gospel. In the Old Testament, God is presented as being absolutely racist and racially selective. God told Israel to destroy whole nations, exterminating men, women, children, and their animals. That Israel, as a nation, did not do so is the reason that many of these problems still exist today. The question has been asked, has the unchanging God changed? He cannot change, can he? God is shown as being totally racist in the Old Testament. What he has said will surely come to pass, even if some churchgoers think he has changed and that his word will not come to pass. We can no longer hold the doctrine of Balaam and be blessed by God. Jesus holds this against the churches. Can Balaam's doctrine apply today? The vogue today, as ever, is to question God. The subject under examination is what Romans 9 is about. We also might like to say that there is unrighteousness with God, verse 14 through 18, when God says that he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and that whom he will, he hardeneth. Why then should we resist God's will? Why should the churches reply against God? Romans 9, 20 and 21, Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, over the same lump, to make one vessel into honor and another into dishonor? Paul goes on to show that there actually are vessels fitted for destruction, and that there are also vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared into glory. This chapter of Romans confirms the Old Testament sense of being of race, not of individuals. The whole context still isolates Israel from other races. We have to settle whether or not there are racial differences today. If not, then Balaam's doctrine could not apply today. The rising tide of racial strife through the world shows that there are these differences. The attempts by world leaders to mix the races are not working and cannot work. We are seeking anti-discrimination legislation attempting to enforce multicultural concepts. With this, we are seeing growing anti-Christian sentiment. So what about the other races? Can we still declare that all races are treated the same way by God? In Romans 9, we find mention of Pharaoh, a non-Israelite, who was raised up for God by God for a purpose that through God's power, God's name might be known throughout the earth. God then has different purposes for the different races. Who are we to argue with still with God? Paul's sayings are hard sayings. When Jesus spoke some hard sayings, John 6:60, many of his disciples walked no more with him. Will you also go away? I have had the personal experience of talking to people about the sovereignty of God and his right to choose some and send others to destruction. And they have said, we cannot worship a God who is racist or partial or prejudiced. And my answer is simple. Then you don't worship the God of the Bible. The popular interpretation of Galatians 3:26 through 29, which ignores that this book is written to Israelites who had been under the law, this was covered in the chapter Galatians and Israel exclusively. The popular meaning of the word Gentile, see the chapter entitled that unfortunate word Gentile, the popular application of God so loved the world and go ye into all the world. So look at that chapter on which world does God love. So what is to be done from a practical point of view? What are we to do if we agree with Jesus and continue in the apostles' doctrine? Mixed race marriages are increasingly common in our churches. Many have the racial mixtures in their immediate families. This is not easy to deal with in the light of the applying of doctrine of Balaam. The answers come from knowing who we are. The message of the New Testament is to believe Jesus and obey God. These are actions to be taken by individuals, and hence it is as individuals we must respond. Everyone in Israel is given the opportunity at some time or other to hear and respond to things of the Spirit. If, like Esau, the decision is to turn away, so be it for that individual. If, like Abraham, the decision is to believe and to prove it through the deeds of one's life, so be it for that individual. One thing is certain for everyone who chooses to believe: stumbling blocks and difficulties will appear in the course of life. Understanding our roles as individuals, understanding our society and the forces that afflict it, together with successfully holding fast to the truth, is the challenge for those whom Revelation identifies as overcomers. To them go the rewards. Those who reject God will be forgotten from their mind. The disbelievers try to hide behind every type of argument. The majority spiritualized the subject away by saying the promises were not to the genetic seed of Abraham, but to the spiritual seed of Abraham. The great error in this is that there is no prophetic foundation for this view. It does not have foundation in the law, the Psalms, or the prophets. Therefore, it is not valid. The popular thought is to spiritualize the whole matter and to make it a matter of conversion and non-conversion. So in conclusion, tolerance is sometimes called a Christian virtue, but truth is totally intolerant of untruth. This chapter has endeavored to make the doctrine of Balaam clear, a doctrine that Christians should not tolerate. When Balaam spoke prophetically, it is recorded that he spoke the words that God put in his mouth. This was not the same thing as the counsel he offered Balak. In his prophecy, he entrenched the blessing that was established upon Israel, who had no enchantment against them. This blessing was for the last days, that is, following the first advent. In blessing Israel, Balaam said in Numbers 23:9, "Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations." Alone means only in the sense of being in a class of its own. Israel is still very much unlike all the other nations. Israel is peculiar, and Israel remains exclusive from the other races in the word of the Lord. It is God's decree that Israel will always be this way. But how many Israelites will believe Jesus and obey God so that they attain the eternal life to see it?